there. How you doing? I'm Leslie Marshall. We're back. Welcome or welcome back. Happy Monday. And we welcome back Avi Davis. Avi is a senior fellow and president of the American Freedom Alliance. More than a pleasure to have him on the show. Avi, good afternoon. Happy Monday. Thank you for joining us and welcome.
Thank you, Leslie. It's good to be back with you.
Avi, so that folks understand, because they're hearing a lot of stuff about the Patriot Act, and they're also hearing a lot of things about the U.S. Freedom Act. Some people want the Patriot Act itself completely pulled. Some people want the Patriot Act with the U.S. Freedom Act, or to have be replaced by the U.S. Freedom Act. And then, you know, there are some people that say, you know, they just want it the way that it was. Just very briefly, so people understand the difference between the three.
Here's the fact. The Patriot Act was passed in 2001 following the 9/11 attacks, and it gave wide authority to intelligence agencies to gather metadata from various sources. And this obviously required wiretaps and phone taps, which stirred the ire of many libertarians and many liberals. So this program has been in effect until now. It's due to expire on June the 1st, and actually it did expire because certain provisions of it were not extended. The Obama administration has proposed the big section here that is most concern to certainly people like Rand Paul and others is Section 215 of the Patriot Act, which the Obama administration sought to address with the U.S. Freedom Act, which tones it down considerably. But still, that is not good enough for Rand Paul and others. And as a result, the Patriot Act expired last night. And so we no longer have surveillance, this kind of surveillance in this country, at least for the time being. I think it's only temporary, but it still leaves the country somewhat exposed.
A few things. One, so that, you know, people fully understand and, you know, we're all about truth. We know that the Patriot Act provisions have expired. And the Senate let provisions of the Patriot Act expire last night. So the people understand, are just these provisions expired or the entire act, including the provisions as well?
Well, that's a very good question because it's not clear, you know, if the act itself is, because these provisions are almost central to it. So that's sort of in a bit of a legal quandary right now, you know, exactly where we stand with the Patriot Act. There are many commentators are arguing the Patriot Act is still in effect. Others would say, no, it's not. It's dead. At least it's in slumber. So we're going to have to wait and see. Over the next few days, I think the Senate is going to rally and is going to revive it. But we will have to wait and see.
Oh, most definitely. Are there polls showing what Americans want? And is there a latest poll, Avi, that you'd like to share with our listeners that shows support and, you know, where the support among Americans for the most part lies?
There have been polls indicating that there, you know, the populace is more or less balanced between those who are concerned that we do not have proper surveillance. If we do not have the Patriot Act or the U.S. Freedom Act, and those who feel that this is an invasion of privacy and is counter to the rights of American citizens. So there is a tussle in this country over this issue, and this reflects what I consider the defining issue of this century. For the United States and for all Western governments, and that is the contest between national security and the right to privacy. Unfortunately, you cannot have both.
Okay, Avi, hold it there. Unfortunately, Avi, hold it one sec. Sorry to interrupt. We're going to take a break. I'm so interested in what you're saying. I forgot we had to take a break. So don't go away. We'll be back right after this with Avi Davis, Senior Fellow and President of the American Freedom Alliance. And which do you want? Because you can't have both. Like you said, don't go away. We'll be right back.
a fella. Yeah, the young one with the makeup, lift her hands up to holla. Well, I gave her what I got, but couldn't handle a broken heart.
We are back. I'm Leslie Marshall. Welcome, welcome back. Only True Democracy in Talk Radio of four. And by you, the people. Let's go back to our guest, Avi Davis, Senior Fellow and President of the American Freedom Alliance. Now, Avi, you and I were talking before the break about polls, how the American people feel about this now that provisions of the Patriot Act have expired as of last night and that the Senate allowed that to be the case, talking about, you know, whether Americans favor freedom over security. And you had said before the break, we can't have both. Please continue.
Well, what I was going to say is that tight national security is dependent upon surveillance in a high-tech age as we live in. There is so much information that flows across the internet and through our telephone networks that we have to be vigilant about those communications because they could reveal plots. They reveal lone wolves operating within our communities. And to think and pretend that we don't have them, that it's not going to happen, is akin to a sort of a national amnesia, which I think is extremely dangerous. People have already forgotten September 11th. They seem to see it as some kind of natural disaster. It wasn't. It was a carefully strategized plot to wreak damage and catastrophe upon the American people. And I fear that we are due for something like that again, and we have to interdict it before it reaches our shore. And the way to do it is to have very, very good surveillance. If you or any of your listeners have read the 9/11 Commission report, it's a very extensive document, but it's worth reading because it shows you how the intelligence agencies failed really to connect the dots before the 9/11 attacks. They were not sharing information. They were not systematized. They were not picking up leads. And as a result, we had a catastrophe in this country. And so from my book, we need a very strong surveillance system. And frankly, you know, given the prospects of such an attack, a devastating attack on places like Los Angeles or New York, Chicago, and I live in one of those cities, I frankly would be not happy, but I would be quite content to have my emails and my phone calls monitored if I knew that myself and my children, my family would be safe. And I think that most Americans, if they thought carefully about it, would agree.
I don't know, because I'm one of those Americans that doesn't agree wholeheartedly. And the reason is, I don't have a problem with them having access to my phone bills. They could get a warrant and get that information from Verizon or AT&T. And, you know, who I'm calling is, not a big deal, and especially because I have nothing to hide. But the problem is that... And maybe because right now there is a distrust of law enforcement or, you know, just because there are certain attitudes toward certain individuals, whether they be certain colors or have certain types of last names or certain religions or come from a certain nation. You know, my concern is the level of racial profiling, a prejudice that could go along with that. And, you know, innocent people, is somebody who's Muslim calling their mother in a different country, a Muslim country, going to have their conversation listened to, or with a wiretap without a warrant? I know we don't have the manpower or the money to go through all the phone records. I know we don't have the manpower or the money to listen in on every conversation. And honestly, even we didn't prevent 9/11, and no, we didn't have the Patriot Act. But please, you tell me there were no surveillance programs in place prior to 9/11. That's not true. So let's talk about that. Were there surveillance programs prior to 9/11? And how effective is this surveillance program? Because although we may have some thwarted attacks, we don't see any evidence that the thwarted attacks were as a result of this particular act, and specifically the particular provision where these phone records are obtained.
Well, you said a lot of things there, Leslie, and I'll try and respond to all of them. But first of all, just because a particular method for surveilling our potential enemies enemies is immune doesn't mean it can't be used or it won't be used, or that it would be effective in preventing an attack on the United States. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we have we've come a long way since 9/11. You asked about 9/11 and what happened before. Well, there was surveillance, of course. We had intelligence services that were, you know, Bin Laden had declared war on the United States in 1996 and had been a target, and was a well-known name to Americans in 2001. However, as I said before, if you do read the 9/11 Commission report, you'll see that the surveillance wasn't systematized. It wasn't the intelligence agencies were not really communicating with one another. They weren't sharing data. They weren't sharing information, and they didn't have access and to a broad range of tools that they had access to under the Patriot Act. And you ask about since. You know, we haven't had an attack here in 15 years or 14 years since 9/11. And that's largely because we have found the means to thwart these attacks. And part of that, and most of that, I would say, is due to the Patriot Act. And as I said, you know, Americans seem to develop an amnesia, you know, an unfortunate amnesia about how devastating that attack was, what an absolute shock, devastating shock it was to us, and that to think that it can't be repeated and that we loosen our vigilance is an enormous mistake in my mind.
And, you know, for civil libertarians like Rand Paul who want the whole thing thrown out, I would agree with you. We can't have no surveillance program, you know, at all. Is this U.S. Freedom Act a compromise, and a compromise that sits well and is palatable to you, even though if it's not palatable to Rand Paul, do you think it would be palatable to most? I mean, it does seem that Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, for those on the left, and even some of those who were saying they're running for president in 2016, whether they officially announced or not, are just, you know, tinkering with the idea right now, some of which, both on the left and some of which on the right, seem to agree with.
Well, it's certainly uncompromised from the standpoint of the Obama administration. They've looked at the metadata, the bulk telecommunications protocols, and basically said, well, we don't need them to this extent. They've maintained them to a certain extent under the U.S. Freedom Act. But interesting to me is that here you have two governments, both the Bush administration and the Obama administration, agreeing to a certain extent on the absolute need for these surveillance activities by our intelligence agencies. That is what's so interesting to me. Now, of course, libertarians don't trust any government, you know, whether it be conservative or liberal. But the fact that, you know, such diametrically opposed governments such as these two could agree on this very fundamental issue indicates to me that there's an awareness of the threat, of the peril, really the peril that Americans face on a daily basis from terrorist threats. And as you know, many congressmen have said, the threats aren't going down, they're going up. You know, the rise of ISIS, which is a very tech-savvy operation, indicates that there is going to be more and more threats to our security, cyber threats, as well as physical threats to our security, and that we just can't afford to step back and say, well, you know, the threat's over. You know, terrorism is dead. It's not. It's always rising in its determination.
When we look at the type of surveillance that is necessary, do you think there's something better than, you know, what we have, or something that we can, you know, add to all of this? I mean, obviously, there's no secret formula. Every time something happens, we have a knee-jerk reaction. We start taking off our belts and our shoes. And when the underwear bomber came out, I got a bit nervous, Avi, to tell you the truth, what was coming next. I thought, I'm just going to have to get butt naked every time I go to the airport. And I live in L.A., and that's not a good thing, because I'm a size 2 to 4, and that's obese out here, you know? So, but, you know, all joking aside, you know, so we look at what some other countries do, you know, whether it's the U.K. or Israel. And we look at some countries that, you know, we may feel that don't have, you know, strong enough methods. And I'm not just talking about at airports. With a country this size, and with, it would seem when you look at ISIS as an example, who wants world dominance, unlike the Taliban, and their intelligence, their savviness, their online presence, and their level of reach, right? Their ability to reach very far, and certainly through the internet. Does this even go far enough in some regard?
Well, it is a very difficult question to ask. You know, how far do we go in protecting ourselves? And, you know, these measures arose in response to a particular event in American history. Is there going to be another event like this? I certainly hope not. But if there is, then you'll find much more stringency, and there'll be a tremendous change in the way that we surveil our citizens. In the UK, almost everything is filmed. There are cameras almost everywhere. It's absolutely extraordinary. When you talk about privacy, there are cameras here, of course, everywhere in the United States, but nothing on the level of the United Kingdom. Europe is fast approaching that. Australia, which I visited fairly recently, has really ramped up after the attack in Sydney. Has really ramped up its surveillance and its intelligence services, and is sharing its data with groups around the world. So you're finding that it's increasing. The surveillance is increasing. We are becoming increasingly nervous. Now, look, I also am concerned about this, because governments can use this to their advantage. They can use it to expose their enemies and opponents, and bring down indictments on them for things that are completely unrelated to terror. So this is a concern, and it is a problem, but it's a balance as well. We have to balance our national security interests with these privacy rights, and governments are feeling their way, you know, as to what they can do and what they can't do. Rand Paul's determination to prevent the U.S. Freedom Act from passing is an indication of, you know, of a willingness to stand down, to stare down this surveillance culture that he sees enveloping the U.S. citizenry. I don't see it that way. I don't see any conspiracies here. The fact that both the Obama administration and the Bush administration were in agreement on this is proof enough for me that this is something that is of deadly concern to all Americans.
We have somebody who said it's hard to find the needles with the haystack that size. And some people have talked about overreach. Do you think it's overreach still with the changes that are being proposed with this USA Freedom Act?
Well, you just might have to find one needle in the haystack, you know, to make it worthwhile. You know, there are many, many needles in the haystack, and that's what I think. There's not just one needle. You just need to find a single one to make it a worthwhile program. And as I said before, the fact that it hasn't been employed, the system hasn't been employed under Section 215, doesn't mean that it can't be, or shouldn't be, or it won't be. It's there to provide us with security. It's not there to, as far as I can see, to destroy our privacy and our liberties. That's not the focus of the legislation. That's not the focus of our intelligence services, as far as I can tell. And I'm certainly hoping that the governments that we have in the future recognize the delicacy of all of this and how problematic it could be if the information that is taken from these records is used for purposes other than the pursuit of terrorist suspects.
Okay, because that seems to be a lot of the issue, right? When you make a haystack so large, you miss the needles. One last thing. We have less than a minute. What do you want our listeners to come away with our conversation today with, a point that you feel very strongly about?
Well, you know, I've been saying for years that the most important struggle in our lifetime will be this struggle between national security and privacy and individual rights. And you know, as a society, we really need to look at things on a grand scale and on a comprehensive level, not just looking at individual cases and not just looking at individual sensitivities. We have to look at our society comprehensively and understand that we have significant threats that we just cannot ignore. And those threats are going to grow and not going to diminish. And if we don't recognize that, just because we haven't had a major catastrophe in the last 14 years doesn't mean it can't happen.
Avi, thank you for joining us. Avi Davis, Senior Fellow and President of the American Freedom Alliance. They're based in Los Angeles. Avi and I are in the same city. I didn't know that. We could go for drinks. Formed to identify threats to Western civilization and uphold Western values and ideals. He's also editor of The Intermediate Zone. His work has appeared in hundreds of papers and periodicals throughout the world, including the LA Times, Chicago Tribune, Philadelphia Inquirer, The Australian, and regularly in The American Thinker. I'm Leslie Marshall. Coming up, Victoria Jones joining us live from our nation's capital with Talk Radio News Service. Don't go away. Oh, and I want to tell you this, that 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Just go to geico.com.